breaking news on the trending technology you need and can't live without. Ari Zeldin of Quantum Media Group, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, it's Tuesday. That means we check technology breaking news, and there's a lot of interesting things happening that have gotten my attention in recent days. Did you hear about this YouTube viral video that went crazy all over the place? It was President Trump, and he was shooting people, and it was I guess they reviewed it, and they said it didn't violate any rules of anything. But it reminded me that just a couple of days ago, I had seen an article about some analyst predictions about how deep fakes, which we will get to understand what those are in a second, are going to be used in this election cycle, unlike any way they've been used in the past. Here to discuss is subbing for Ari Zeldin today, Michael Berean, who rejoins us. And Michael, I always appreciate your understanding of this because you live in this stuff, you know, all the time. And I just talk about it on Tuesdays. But deepfakes is a relatively new term that has kind of emerged in popularity in the mainstream in the last year. But for people that are uninitiated, what are they referring to when they talk about these videos as deepfakes?
So these are the ability to manipulate the video to tell a false narrative, basically, Kevin. So it's the ability to, you know, swap out faces and just make, you know, video content look like something that it's not with technology.
But it's not. But to be clear, it's not like the Jijab videos where, you know, the face is always pointing in the same direction and the mouth only opens up and down. And like, these are actually manipulatable. Like it's more like what they did in Rogue One, making the past characters come to life so realistically that they look like they were actually in the movie.
No, definitely. It's the technology is incredible. And think about where it's going to be in 5 or 10 years. It's just going to get better. I think the problem becomes, you know, when it's no longer used for entertainment. There's a lot of comedy Instagram accounts that use, you know, face swapping and deepfake technology to create funny parodies, right? But when you start to, you know, put videos out there that are trying to sway public opinion, especially in politics, that's when it becomes a little bit kind of, you know, scary and edgy.
Yeah, I would also think that on a personal level, this would be technology that people of ill intent could try to harm people in very significant ways on a personal level as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we've seen from the past, you know, producing propaganda content can sway public opinion because everybody's getting their beliefs and their thoughts and their news from social media platforms. And when you can't tell the difference between what's real and what's fake and what's entertainment and what's reality, it's impressing upon people the wrong idea about things. That's territory where there needs to be some type of, in my opinion, monitoring, and it needs to be looked at closely.
Yeah, I almost don't even understand how they eventually rationally get to a place, Michael, where they're able to monitor it, because as you say, as Ari says all the time, the technology is just going to continue to get better. You know, it's going to get better, you know, like by decades, by every day pretty soon compared to what it used to be. There's not going to be any real way to stop that. So you're going to talk about like the development of ultimately alternate universes and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, either that or, you know, I foresee obviously in the future, you know, multiple point verification, right?
So okay, so blockchain, you know, helps keep deepfakes from getting too bad.
Similarly, yeah, where you're going to have now multiple points of verification, like multiple websites or multiple outlets that you could go to that each independently verify the truth behind something, and then you'll know that that's a reality. I see honestly, you know, content media progressing to that at some point where you're going to need to use the technology now to do it, some type of verification,
yeah,
from more than one source.
Yeah. All right. Interesting. Hey, I just saw this in the Post today. You know, I guess Apple's tired of the $1,000 plus iPhones. Some analyst is predicting they're going to come out with under $400 phone in 2020. Should everybody just hold off on that 11 or the 11S with all those camera lenses and everything that they have?
Man, if you could have told the people back in the 70s that they'd be walking around with a supercomputer in their pocket for $400, they would have thought you were crazy.
Yeah. Well, I feel glad that I didn't jump onto the really expensive ones. I think I've still got an 8S, and it's getting me through the day just fine. So I'm happy with that. So we're sitting in the living room last night watching, I don't know, Dancing with the Stars or something. My bride had the TV on, and one of the streaming service commercials for the new Disney streaming service came up. And I saw something, and I know you follow these things fairly closely. I saw a Simpsons outtake in the Disney streaming commercial, and I thought the Disney stuff was only going to be Disney. Are these streaming services going to open up beyond just what they are producing themselves?
Oh, totally. I mean, we're in the streaming wars now. That's what everyone's calling it, and everybody's jumping on board. It's definitely going to become the future. I think it serves the user well as far as content, because we're going to see a need for way more artistry, way more creative, way more content, you know, in the market. But also now people have to go to different platforms to get different content that they associate with. Like we saw Game of Thrones, you know, brought so many users over to the HBO Go platform. Now Game of Thrones is done. Where do all those people go if they're not going to stay on there? Do they stay with the program, or do they switch to something else like Netflix or Hulu? Peacock is another new one. So I really think it's going to become an evolution where you're going to be able to eventually have to cherry pick your own package of the content that you want to watch. For instance, you could watch some shows from Netflix and some shows from Amazon Prime Video, some shows from Hulu. But to have people locked into 5-6 different streaming services, to me, is crazy. So there's going to need to be an evolution there.
So an aggregator of streamers. And so there's going to be an industry for streaming aggregation.
I could see that, like an Expedia or a Kayak for streaming. But I think what's interesting about Disney is their ability to merge the physical world with the streaming world. I think it's going to be really cool.
That's going to be so nuts. And my friends that have already been able to go to the Star Wars park in Disneyland have already confirmed this. But it's only going to get better. And I know that Galaxy's Edge is about to open Disney World. But that's going to be like when you can actually fly the Millennium Falcon to Tatooine. That's going to be the best. Am I a nerd or what? Yes, yeah. I am. Proudly, signed, sealed, delivered.
Right there with you.
All right.
Right there with you.
Hey, Michael, always good to get caught up. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Kevin. Have a great one.
Kevin McCullough, my final thought coming up next.